shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever you betide, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, shelter in the time of storm. A shade by day, defense by night, a shelter in the time of storm. Foes afright, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, shelter in the time of storm. Rock divine, O refuge dear, a shelter in the time of storm. Thou our helper ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. A shelter in the time of storm. One more time. A shelter in the time of storm.
Welcome, y'all, to Cowboy Church. It's good to be here amongst God's people. It's good to see you all here. I'd like to open with a bit of scripture. We're going to go to Psalm 118. I'm going to read the first nine verses, not the whole thing, just the first nine verses. Psalm 118, I'm reading from the New King James, and it goes like this. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercy endures forever. I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. And I thank God that we can trust in him tonight. It is an amazing thing to be under the protection of the living God. Praise the Lord. Let's go to him in prayer. Father God, I thank you that we can trust you, that we can put our lives in your hands. And God, some of us are going through amazingly good times. The sun is shining on us. We're on the mountaintop and everything is great. Everything seems to be going our way. You seem to be blessing us. And Lord, it's all smooth sailing, and we're praising your name and just ablaze with your glory on the mountaintop. And some of us are in the valley, Lord. Terrible things have happened, Lord. Maybe we're stricken. Our health is falling apart, Lord. Maybe we've lost someone we loved. Maybe their health is declining, and Lord, it is weighing us down, and the storm clouds seem to be everywhere, and darkness surrounds us, and our enemies beset us, Lord, and we cry out to you, Lord. But no matter where we are, we know we can trust you to have your saving hand upon us, Lord, to walk with us wherever our steps may take us, wherever you lead us through in this life. And I thank you that we can go to you and we can trust in you, and we can put our lives and the lives of those we love in your hands, God, that we can be assured, Lord, that someday we will be with you, and Lord, the glorious days will never end, and you will wipe all our tears away, and we will be with you forever. I thank you for that promise. I thank you for that promise that someday we will fly away, that you will come for us, Lord, and perhaps, Lord, you will tarry, and perhaps if our health is failing, and maybe we have to walk that dark valley, and Lord, maybe you will take us home that way. But either way, we have nothing to fear. We know that our lives are in your hands, and our eternal souls are safe with you, and our lives are hidden with you in Christ. And I thank you for that promise from your word, Lord. I thank you, God, for all of these people, Lord. And I trust that most of these people, at least a good many of these people in this room tonight, have placed their lives in your hands, Lord, and they are trusting in you, and they are part of your family. And I thank you, God, that we can gather tonight, and we can seek your face, and we can worship you, and we can hear your word preached. All of these things, Lord, all of the blessings of gathering as your family, and in your name, I pray, God, that your spirit would be strong in our midst tonight, that you would do your work, whatever work that you have to do amongst us, Lord. And I do not know what sorts of things you have to do in the hearts and minds that are here tonight, God, but I pray that there would be nothing in your way, that you would hold sway in this room tonight, and that, Lord, hearts would be open to you, and hearts and minds would be cleansed, Lord, that your work would be done in whatever fashion it takes. We pray, God, that you would not hold back. We pray for that your spirit would fall upon this place tonight, that you would be worshipped and praised, Lord, that you would be lifted up. I pray for your hand upon every part of this service tonight. In the name of Jesus, amen.
We've been doing a series on all, and this is the fourth marker this week. So if you'd please stand for the reading of God's word, would you do that if you can, please? We're going to conclude where we started in Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Lord, thank you for your word. And Lord, that your word tonight would just go forth and bear fruit in this place. I pray for, first of all, an open heaven and open hearts in this place. And Lord, that your word will bear fruit that will last for eternity. In your name I pray, amen, and you may be seated. Remember when you bring up your GPS and there's that mark, and we've been looking at markers. Today I had an opportunity to go out into an area of the city where I had never been before in preparation for a funeral next Wednesday. And sometimes I do question my GPS. When it says north, I'm not sure that's where we're going. But I've learned to give it a chance. And if you have to make a U-ey, well, so be it. But I was thinking today of that mark where it said I needed to go. So the first mark we looked at when we started 4 weeks ago was the first one, and we know. That you know for sure that you know that you know. That you know God and Jesus, his Son, as your Lord and Savior. Do you know? Without a shadow of a doubt. And the second marker we looked at, that all things work together for good. When you're walking through a difficult time, whether it's in your body or whatever your situation, that you can actually say that all things work together for good. There's times like that, it's very hard to say that. Or maybe you've just lost a loved one. Or right now that your body is racked with pain. It's really difficult to say all things work together for good. But here's the answer. Here's the qualifier. Do not miss this. The third marker. To those, for good to those who love God. There it is. There's the qualifier. Do you love God? Is God the most important part of your life? That's the question. Is he? As you sit there tonight and do an evaluation of that, where is God in your life, really? Where's your priorities? Is he where he should be in your life? And then we're going to look at the last one tonight, marker number 4. To those who are called according to his purpose. When you invited Jesus Christ into your life, you were called. God has a work for you to do. It wasn't for you to just take up space and say, praise God, I'm saved now, and I'm just waiting to go to heaven. That is not the way this works. That God has a purpose for you. So tonight we're going to go through, we're going to start in Genesis. We're going to quickly go through here, and I want to give you some instances where individuals were called and they told God they were not qualified. And we're going to look at all different ages. If you're here tonight, 70, 80, or 90, there's a scripture verse for you. It doesn't matter your age. We're going to look at individuals when God called them, they had excuses for God. So are we ready? Let's start with Abram, which eventually would be called Abraham. Now you're familiar with Abraham's journey as he was called out of the land of the Chaldeans to a land of Canaan. And that is one long journey. And when he gets there, of course, there is a drought and things don't go well. And so wouldn't you question God? God, where are you in all of this? I thought I heard your voice, and I'm following your leading, and things aren't going well. They're not going to plan. In fact, God had stated to Abram that he would be a father to many nations. So the question is, here he is now. He's 100 years old. And his wife, Sarah or Sarai, is having a problem getting pregnant. So I want you to pick up on this now on Genesis 17. Genesis 17. I'm going to end in the book of Revelation tonight. I told you I would. And we are. And it's not going to be that long. Genesis 17, starting at verse 7. 17, verse 7. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants. This is what God is saying to Abraham. And then we continue on. Verse 15, then God said to Abraham, as your wife, as for Sarai, your wife, she shall not be called Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name, and I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? Come on. If you're here tonight and you're saying, I am too old, I believe God will reprimand you. You're never too old. God has put a call on your life, and wherever you're situated, God wants to use you for His glory. Wherever you're living right now, whatever that situation looks like, there are people there that need to hear about Jesus. It's time to get out of your recliner and turn off the YouTube. Listen to me. There is someone that needs to hear that Jesus loves them. Joe, I'm so excited to hear that across Canada, this worship team, which was in Steinbach, we pastored a lot of years ago in Steinbach, a great, great community. And then he went to Saskatoon, some 2,000 people there. I believe a blessing goes to those areas where they will worship God. What they did down in Quebec, where they fined that church $2,500 for bringing a worship team in, I'll tell you, with that is not the blessing of God. That is hard soil, hard hearts. And we as a nation, I'm not getting political here, but I'm saying we're in dire straits, guys. When you'll never hear our leaders or politicians mention the name of God and say, let's pray. You can say what you want to say about our brothers down south, but I'll tell you, when there's inauguration down there, they pray and there's Christian songs. Do you ever hear that in Canada? God help us. We used to be a Christian nation. As I get into this message tonight, I'm going to share with you what happens when a nation turns their back on God. This isn't a message of condemnation. It's a message I'm preaching to myself. May God stir us up in these end days. Light us on fire. All you have to say is, God, use me. I'm 105. Use me. In the condo where we live, we celebrated a lady's 100th birthday the other day. She is the chipper. I'm telling you, that lady's amazing. You know, I haven't got a hope of looking that good when I hit 100, I'm telling you. She fixes herself up, looks awesome. We just didn't ask her to blow out the candles because that could have been an issue. There ain't quite enough gas there. Ain't going to happen. There are some restrictions. But the point here is with Abraham, when God calls you, at whatever age that will, what is, respond. And then we're going to look at Jacob. Genesis 32, we'll get out of Genesis here really quick. Genesis 32, starting on verse 24. Now remember what the name Jacob means, crafty deceiver. Not a good way to start. So if you're here tonight and you're kind of, you've got a personality that maybe all your dealings aren't the way they should be, there's hope for you. If God puts a call on your life, He will take you from being a deceiver and He'll use you. As you know, Jacob and his mother deceived Isaac for the blessing. And life went on for Jacob, and then he just had a lot of issues later on with Leah and Rachel and the maidservants, and it just went on. But we get to this point, we pick up on in Genesis 32, verse 24. Then Jacob was left alone. Jacob is leaving the land of his forefathers, and he's heading for Canaan, the promised land. But he knows Esau, his brother, is waiting for him, And the things that he did to Esau, he was afraid of Esau. So he thought Esau would retaliate. If you're ever in a family situation where things have gone on in the family, maybe with the estate, you need to find a way to rectify that situation. Over the years, I've lost count on the amount of funerals I have officiated. And sometimes before the family goes out to start the service, we have issues already dealing with the will in the back room. That is a terrible, terrible heritage to have. Rectify it while you can. And we find here Jacob in verse 24, then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. Now that man, many theologians, there's been discussions over the years, but many feel that that was actually Jesus himself. Because usually it'll say it was an angel of the Lord, but a man would have been Jesus himself. That wouldn't be no problem for Jesus to come down. But in this here, verse 25, and when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Now, our sister just had a hip operation. And from now on, Jacob would walk with probably a terrible limp. And that would make a sign that he would have to be dependent on God the rest of his life and know that God had touched him in that area. So if you're here today and you're saying, where is God in my life when I'm walking through all these difficult situations? I'm here to tell you, God is with you. He's promised he'll never leave you nor forsake you, whatever your situation is in. It's always easy to serve him when you're on the mountaintop. But when you get in the valley, that's the test. That's the test. How are you going to do in the valley? Verse 26, and he said, let me go for the day breaks. And he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God. So that means today, Israel means he wrestles with God. Israel still wrestles with God today. That is the land of Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men, and you have prevailed. So whatever you are coming out of, whatever type of individual you are, when God calls you, God means it for good. You might not see it now, but trust me, God means it for good. Jacob would no longer walk in his own strength. But he would walk in a place that he'd have to totally rely on God. I have one more I want to look at here quickly. Man, you're a quiet bunch tonight. What is it here? Are you all asleep on me here or what? I need a little bit of comeback here. I need to get some black people in this congregation because it's like preaching to these white guys. Like, come on. You know, this message I worked on all week just for you. Come on, work with me a little bit here. I'm working on it. I'm giving her. I'm just warming up here. Exodus chapter 4. Now, you know the history of Moses. The Israelites were in dire straits. They'd gone to Egypt. They'd become slaves. And then they grew in number to the point where the Egyptians said, told the midwives, start killing the boys. It was a terrible situation. And Moses was, what, 3 months old, and his mother took him and made a little basket and put him in the Nile, and Pharaoh's daughter got him. And then he would be raised in the Pharaoh's palace for some 40 years. He was educated. Because Moses wrote the first 5 books of the Bible, this guy was an educated man. And then one day he's out and seeing what's happening to the Israelites, and he sees an Egyptian beating an Israelite, and he murders him, kills him. Now he runs for his life, off into the desert. Now for 40 years, he's looking at the back end of sheep. 40 years. But if you were to look at that and you say, what a failure. An educated man like that, wandering around the desert chasing sheep. God was equipping him for what was coming. If you saw that in the natural, you say he's a total failure. But when God calls you, he's working on you and preparing you for what he wants you to do. Because the time would come when Moses would have to lead the Israelites through the desert, and he had to know the desert. So you go from a palace experience to a desert experience. And you're leading a bunch of stubborn, stiff-necked people around the desert, murmuring, I want steak. I'm tired of this manna stuff. All right, I'll give you a quail till it comes out of your nostrils. I'll tell you, you're going to quit your complaining and murmuring. What is it about us? Maybe I'm the only one in the crowd here that murmurs. Say, God, I really don't like this where I am right now. How are you all doing? No murmurs in the crowd. Moses ends up leading his people, but he's got a few issues. So let's deal with them first. Exodus 4. Here it is. This is an excuse. Isn't there a song we used to sing? Excuses, excuses. That is so old. My word, how far back does that thing go? Mark, do you know that song? No. Mark's still young. He's too young. We got stuff in our fridge older than Mark. Here we go. 10. Then Moses said to the Lord, Oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Not gonna go good, guys. If you say to the Lord, you know what, God, get somebody else. You know, I really don't like standing up in front of people. I really don't even like talking to people. And you know what, I'm kind of an introvert, you know. I just kind of like to be the one in the back serving. And God is saying to you, no, I want you here. And you're saying, well, you know what, God, find somebody else. All right, let's see what happens here. Continue on. So the Lord said to him, Who has made man's mouth, or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I'll be with your mouth and teach you what to say. But he said, Oh, my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. Verse 14, so the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. It's not good, guys. If God wants you to speak to someone and you just have all these excuses, think about it. You need to repent is what you need to do. I know there's been times in my life when the Lord spoke very clearly to me and said, you need to go speak to that person. And I didn't. And I had to go before the Lord and say, Lord, I repent. If you'll give me another opportunity, I will never do that again. Repent and say, Lord, I'm available. Do it. And you know, it can happen at times when you least expect it. You might be busy. Who knows where it is? It could happen at the till at Walmart. Well, most of it, there isn't that many at the till anymore. And it's kind of hard to speak to that automated machine. You know what? I'm in total rebellion. I will look for a clerk. I'm the only one that goes to Costco, and Annette gives me her list, and maybe there's only 8 items in that big cart. I will not go through that automatic thing. I will not. I have picked this thing. I am not going to unload it again and load it again. Somewhere in here, you're going to help. And I want that individual behind that till to have a job. I want all those tills filled. I don't care how long I have to stand. I want to create jobs. But I'm just throwing that aside. What you do is your business. And yet I get to chat with somebody. Look in their eyes and smile at them. You know, when you smile at those automatic tellers, there ain't nothing coming. Just put your plastic card in and get out of here. I want to look at you. And sometimes those people at the till just need a smile and a thank you and say, do you know what? You are the best packer. It doesn't matter if they put everything on top of your bread. It's okay. Just tell them, you are the best packer I had today. It's the only packer I've had today. I got you with me now. You're livening up. Come on. If you give me another hour, we'll get there. Jeremiah, here we go. The weeping prophet. Jeremiah. Moving along. Now, Jeremiah was a teenager, a young man. So this is speaking to young people when God calls you. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. We'll start with 4. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. It doesn't matter. God calls you a teenager. No one's too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. And do not be afraid of their faces, for I'm with you to deliver you, says the Lord. So there is the word for our younger generation. When God calls you, he equips you. Doesn't matter your age. You go back to Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those were teenagers, and they stood. O king, the God that we serve is well able to save us from the fire, and even if he doesn't, yet will we serve him. That's what's teenagers. I just sometimes wonder how sometimes we as adults, how will we do in that situation? Would we fold? I believe at that time God will give you the strength you need to stand. Believe that. Now we're going to quickly go to the fishermen. We're going to go to Luke 9. See what the fishermen looked like. Luke 9, starting in verse 13. Now, I've shared with this before, but this particular setting is when we were in Israel. I don't know why, but there's just volcanic rock all over there. I don't know why. There must have been some volcanic activity there one time. But I do have evidence. I brought some back with me in my suitcase. And so if you ever want to see rocks, I'm the rock guy. I collected rocks from all over there. It's the dumbest thing I've ever done. I don't know what to do with them now. I don't want to put them outside of our condo because guys could throw them at the windows and break the window. I'm not sure what to do with them. Annette doesn't want me to have them in the house because they're just in the way. I'm not sure if I should give them to the grandkids. Maybe they'll throw them at something. I'm not sure what I should do with those rocks. But if you're a rock collector, I got rocks. I got rocks from the Western Wall. I got rocks. But in this area where Jesus was ministering, verse 13, but he said to them, let's back up, verse 12. When the day began to wear away, the 12 came and said to him, send the multitude away that you may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge, get provisions, for we are in a deserted place here. And he said to them, Jesus said, you give them something to eat. And they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish unless we go and buy food for all these people. For there are about 5,000 men. So with 5,000 men, there's probably that many children and women. So it was quite a large group. Then he said to his disciples, make them sit down on groups of 50. And they did so and made them all sit down. He took the 5 loaves, the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. So they all ate and were filled. And 12 baskets of the leftover fragments were taken up by them. I believe in that case, the disciples learned that the God that we serve is well able. You know, we as believers are to be followed by signs and wonders. I've seen some things over the years, but I've never seen as much as I'd like to. I really honestly believe every time that we get together, there should be signs and wonders. Many years ago, we were pastoring in Tollfield, and Sharon would know the individual that I'm talking about. He used to be a bus driver in Edmonton, and a drunk driver hit his bus head-on, and the dash came up that bus on his legs, and he couldn't walk without 2 canes. So he was on worker compensation for years. And that particular morning, he came into the service, and I was just preaching a message on that God wants to do something in your life today. And at the end, I had an altar call for those that wanted to be anointed with oil and pray the prayer of faith, believing they'd be healed. He came down the aisle with his 2 canes, walking to the front. Got to the front. Myself and some elders anointed him, prayed over him, and he went back to his seat. Sat down. Service concluded, and he went to get up, and he was standing. No canes. What is going on here? So I said to myself, he said, well, I'll just try walking. He walks to the back of the church, and he phones his wife at home and says, honey, watch. Watch me. When I come home, watch me how I get out of the truck. I'm not sure what went on here. Watch me. He drove home in that Ford truck. Wasn't a Dodge or Chevy, it was a Ford. Drove home in that Ford truck. Drives in the yard. Jumps out of the truck. Healed. And he went back to all his old bus driver buddies and said, look at me. When God does a work in your life and heals you and restores you and calls you, you have a responsibility to share that. And every one of us here tonight has a testimony of what God has done in your life. And you need to share it. You need to share it. And don't be saying, you know, I'm not good of speech. Don't say that. God's called you. There was a lot more to this message, but I'm going to shorten it. We were going to look at Joel, but instead we're going to skip that part, and I'm just going to conclude with what was said in Joel. I'm going to go to Acts 2. So as I read Acts 2, it's actually reading what we would find in Joel. I'm going to conclude with this. Acts 2. 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God. God saying this, not me, not Pastor Ken. God says this. That I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and maid servants, I'll pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth beneath. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Verse 20, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. I just want to stop there just for a minute. I was just reading today on in September the 7th and 8th, we will have a blood moon. That's all I'm saying. They say that the majority of Earth will be able to see it if it's a clear night. Just saying. And right now there's a lot of activity out in space with different things happening. I'm not saying anything, I'm just saying. The Bible says that these things will happen. So why would you be surprised? In fact, you should expect it to happen. Because it is a sign of the times that we're living in. Don't miss it. The one sign that we'll see in the last days is a sign of deception. You had better know where you stand with Jesus, and you'd better know, have that personal relationship and be led by the Holy Spirit, because it says in the end days, many will be deceived. You better know what you believe. In fact, it says, if God didn't shorten the end days, even the elect would be deceived. Make sure you know what you believe. Because it said there will be many false prophets. There's going to be a lot of stuff being said. You better know what you believe. Before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord, and here it is, verse 21. Don't miss this. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be. That's you. You need to write that on your fridge. Those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is Acts, 2:21. And I told you I'd end in Revelation. This is your last verse for the night. Don said, you're going to finish in Revelation, aren't you? Yes, I am. Revelation 22, verse 20. Revelation 22, verse 20. Here it is. He who testifies to these things says, and it's in red. Jesus is saying this, surely I am coming a little later on. What? Quickly. What version do you have there? Is that New King James? It is. Praise God for that. Surely I am coming quickly. Are you ready? Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. There's the last all. We started with the word all 4 weeks ago, and we just ended with the word all. All things work together for good. For those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And I pray that we are all in that place. That we love the Lord and that we have a purpose. You're not just taking up space and you're not living in your recliner. You're doing what God has called you to do. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord's countenance be upon you and give you peace. Shalom.
Created in me a creator, oh God, baby, you're the right spirit within me, creating.
singing.